From the historic Corpus Christi Cathedral in Corpus Christi, Texas, we invite you to celebrate with us the sacred mysteries, listening to God's Word, and partaking in spiritual communion. Welcome to the Holy Mass.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Lord be with you. Good morning to everyone. We're here at Lotari Sunday, halfway there. Praise God. Hope you're doing well. But we still have a ways to go. But all in all, we come rejoicing on this Rose Sunday. You know, it just makes us feel that there's something new that's taking place in all of us. I hope and pray that the Lord, walking with him intimately in these 40 days and being halfway there, there truly is something that he has shared with you in that intimate walk, and you have shared with him, that makes us rejoice this Sunday. So I welcome those of you joining us here at the cathedral. On behalf of all of us here are here at the cathedral, we welcome you to your home away from home, and thank you for your presence. And for all of you joining us from home, the hospital, nursing home, or wherever you may be this day, thank you for letting us be with you this day, as we truly do pray for you and all those that are dear to you, especially those of you who are sick. We carry you in our hearts and entrust you to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, that she pray for you, and of course the comfort and healing hand of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But may you be abundantly blessed always in his peace and in his love. To prepare ourselves to celebrate these sacred mysteries, let us call to mind our sins and ask the Lord for pardon and strength as we say, I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do, through my most grievous fault. Therefore I ask, Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and to you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. Reconcile the human race to yourself in a wonderful way. Grant, we pray, that with prompt devotion and eager faith, the Christian people may hasten toward the solemn celebrations to come. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
A reading from the book of Joshua. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have removed the reproach of Egypt from you." While the Israelites were encamped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, they celebrated the Passover on the evening of the 14th of the month. On the day after the Passover, they ate of the produce of the land in the form of unleavened cakes and parched grain. On that same day after the Passover, on which they ate the produce of the land, the manna ceased. No longer was there manna for the Israelites, who that year ate of the yield of the land of Canaan. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. And all this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors for Christ, as if God were appealing through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who did not know sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The word of the Lord.
Glory and praise to you. be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them, Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here am I, dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father and shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.'" So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son." But his father ordered his servants, "Quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, "Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." He became angry. And when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, "Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf." He said to him, "My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As we make our way into this Lateran Sunday, recalling what we have already experienced from Ash Wednesday, which seems like just yesterday, but it's been a few weeks now, seeing Jesus being led into the desert, seeing his transfiguration, realizing all that is in the beauty of the one we call Christ, we have to remind ourselves that it is he that we follow. It is he that we are meant to be, as St. Paul refers to in his beautiful letter this day, that we are meant to be his ambassadors. We are meant to be the ones who announce a ministry of reconciliation. But in order to do that, we must be reconciled to Christ, with Christ, so that we may go forth and be those ambassadors that we are called to be. St. Paul says, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who did not know sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What a beautiful task that has been entrusted to us. And in the gospel this day, of course, we see that parable of the prodigal son, very familiar to all of us, very familiar to many. But we know the story where this young son, in his selfishness, wanted everything for himself that would be his once his father is dead. In a sense, kind of breaking away, killing off his father, so that he may go and squander all that his father has worked hard for him to have. But he didn't work hard for him to squander. But then he realizes, in his own consequences, what his selfishness has led him to. Absolutely nothing. Which is the case. Selfishness will lead you to absolutely nothing and will take from you everything that you once had that matters. Your family. And lo and behold, in his moment of great consequence, he begins to think of his father. And what we have to remember is, while he was away, wherever he was, and his father not knowing where he was or what he was doing, his father never once stopped thinking about him. For what father or what mother would ever stop thinking of their child, even if they themselves, the child, dismisses themselves from the family? It doesn't take away the fact that the one that God gave that life to would ever stop thinking about you. And lo and behold, he makes his way home. And the one struggling with everything that the father offers is the elder. The one who refers to his own brother as your son doesn't even call him my brother. He says, your son. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property, for him you slaughter the fattened calf. And the father quickly reminds him, you mean your brother. This is the part where we struggle with when it comes to God. Many a times, in certain moments, perhaps we have killed off God because what he wants of you at that moment doesn't fit what you want to do. I'd rather go and do what I want to do right now. I'd rather into this moment the way I know I will feel better, which you won't. This is where all Christians struggle with who God is. Ever merciful, ever loving, And guess what? We even struggle with that when it comes to forgiving ourselves. But can we realize that the beauty to be reconciled with God is something that we can always take a moment to do, because He is always ready and willing. We just have to have that contrite of heart and approach and confess our sins. The beauty of that sacrament is the beauty of being reconciled, not judged. It's a moment to be free, not condemned. And yes, unfortunately, along the way, perhaps priests have failed to make it a moment of reconciliation, a moment of freedom from sin. You know, no priest has the right to get after anyone in confession. They don't. That's not the priesthood of Jesus Christ. The priesthood of Jesus Christ is one arriving, and there, arms are extended. Before you arrive, the Father runs out, as the passage just reminds us of. Overjoyed that you have arrived. But it's been X number of years. But you've arrived. That's what we rejoice at. You're here to be reconciled. And so the Lord rejoices, as I hope we do. And as ambassadors of Christ, this is the news we take out into the world, to realize that this love is yours. This love that awaits you always, just like that same love awaits all of us when we arrive home, wherever home may be here in this world. How we can just find in our hearts, as we just focus greatly on the Immaculate Heart of Mary, that that same love be found in us. But we must be able, my dear family, to trust in that love. To not be like the elder who wants to hold grudges, who wants to judge, who wants to condemn, who wants to always remind, don't you remember what he or she did? What does that gain you? It doesn't gain you anything except a weight upon your shoulders that you won't let go. Where the Father never wants for you or for me to ever hold anything against ourselves, and at the same time never hold anything against our neighbor. How do I know this? Because He gave the one who was without sin for those of us who are with sin in times past, in present, and He will always be able to welcome you and love you. You know, yesterday I had a baptism, and I pulled a chair out and I sat right here. And that little girl was in my arms, tiny little thing. I was hoping she wouldn't slip. Believe me, I was praying at that moment. But she was so tiny. But I wanted everyone to remember, and I want you to remember, that every time you approach the Lord, that is how He holds you. That is how He sees you. He doesn't see us as someone who did this, did that, someone who's gotten it wrong this way or that way, or someone who's already kind of advanced in age. He doesn't see any of that. Only we do. But that's why He calls us to be more like Him. And every time I see you walk in with your little ones, carrying them or walking them, there is a visual of how God is walking with us. God is carrying us. God is loving us. That's the beauty of this love. And the prophet Isaiah, which we did not, of course, read it today, but it's one that comes to mind, reminds you and me. Thus says the Lord, this is for me like the days of Noah. As I swore then that the waters of Noah should never again flood the earth, so I have sworn now not to be angry with you or to rebuke you. Though the mountains fall away and the hills be shaken, my love shall never fall away from you, nor my covenant of peace be shaken, says the Lord, who has mercy on you always. My dear family, hear these words, believe these words, so that you may always realize how he truly always rejoices in being one with you and with me, and continues to always carry you as the child you will always be to him. May we see that about ourselves so that we never fail to see each other for who we are, brothers and sisters that form one body, that is a living body, that always remembers what he gave so that you may have and I may have, and be reconciled in that gift of love with him and with one another. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. My dear family, with great hope in our Father's love, let us ask you to hear the needs we now present.
For the church, that we may extend to our neighbor the mercy we know in the Lord with generosity and compassion, without judgment or condescension, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who have turned away from family or faith, that they may find the courage to turn back, that they may find mercy and love in return, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all of those preparing for the Easter sacraments, that they may know God's love and mercy for the rest of their lives, let us pray to the Lord. For all those celebrating the sacrament of reconciliation, that in reconciling with God and with the community, they may be a sign of God's healing mercy in our midst, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
and especially that God may extend his healing hand upon those who suffer from illnesses in our community, especially those who continue to be affected by the coronavirus, and we bless those who minister to them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
We offer a special prayer for Bishop Mulvey, who celebrated his 12th anniversary of his episcopal ordination. And let us also pray for all those prayers that each and every one of us hold in the silence of our own hearts. For all of these, our personal needs, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And let us also pray for the eternal repose of the souls of the deceased members of the Mew family, Pete Gonzalez Jr., Minnie Gonzalez, Renee Gonzalez, and Evangelina Valverde. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Gracious and loving Father, all this we do ask. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. We place before you with joy these offerings which bring eternal remedy, O Lord, praying that we may both faithfully revere them and present them to you as is fitting for the salvation of all the world through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It
is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For you have given your children a sacred time for the renewing and purifying of our hearts, that freed from disordered affections, we may so deal with the things of this passing world as to hold rather to the things that eternally endure. And so with all the angels and saints, we praise you as without end we acclaim.
Sanctus,
Sanctus, Sanctus Dominus Deus Sabaoth,
pleni suceri et terra.
You are indeed holy, O Lord, the font of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall. They may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat them, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice and, once more giving thanks, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks you've held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church, spread throughout the world. Bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis, our Pope, Michael, our Bishop, and all the clergy. Remember all our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, Blessed Joseph, her spouse, your blessed apostles, and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, may we merit to be co-heirs to eternal life and praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
Amen.
At the Savior's command, formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. Peace of the Lord be with you always.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Peace to you. Thank you. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you for being with us this morning to celebrate the Mass in Corpus Christi Cathedral. In the name of all the parishioners here and Father Pete Elizardo, our rector, myself, I want to wish you a very blessed Sunday with your family and friends. And let us continue to pray for one another and for the gift of peace in our world. God bless you and have a wonderful week.